Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the beautiful, glorious word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, Psalm 23. Beloved Psalm, as we look at the first three verses tonight, as always, we seek Your wonderful working upon our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Give us hope, even through Psalm 23, Your word. Work, Holy Spirit, seek Your unction in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's an expression that I have not heard for a while, but I like it. And it goes this way. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. I think that says a lot about our society. When the going gets tough, you go shopping. And if we're really honest about it, we could view our shopping centers and our shopping malls as modern temples, which we visit in an attempt to fill our empty souls. When we enter these temples, we're transported out of our need-filled, humdrum existence into a land of illusion. Many larger malls, the walkways are carefully laid out. They're beautiful, plush greenery, marble, beautiful skylights, polished brass fountains. They're just beautiful places to be, to escape into another world. David Wells, back in 1997, said this, describing malls: occasional vistas allow you to survey the utopia of abundance. Along with designer jeans, exotic coffees, and vacations, you can also buy happiness, a new image, and psychological wholeness. It's all up for sale. Malls are selling life, the good life, indeed, the more abundant life. They are to our time what cathedrals were to the Middle Ages. And there's a number of theologians and sociologists which have given a very similar analysis of the shopping mall in our society. They are to our time what cathedrals were to the Middle Ages. But as we know, or at least we should know as Christians, looking to false God, false cathedrals, false temples, never really fills our empty hearts. They never truly restore our souls. They never truly lead us down paths of righteousness. But in Psalm 23, we're told of a Savior, a divine shepherd Savior, who genuinely ministers to our deepest needs, the needs of His sheep. And so as we gaze this evening upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as He's seen in the first three verses of Psalm 23, my prayer is that you might come to know more of His care over us as the great shepherd. That's capital S, shepherd. So let's begin with verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here in this psalm, David stirs our hearts to a deeper faith, a deeper trust in Christ by means of the imagery of a shepherd's profound care over a sheep. And by the way, as you know, in John's gospel, he picked Jesus John records Jesus as using imagery, shepherd imagery as well. But here we have the imagery of a shepherd caring over his sheep. And how appropriate for David to have written this, because of course David, when he was young, was a what? Shepherd. And so he understands this. And so here in Psalm 23, we understand that the shepherd really being spoken of here is Jesus Christ. And the sheep, of course, are all who trust upon Christ for the salvation of their souls, salvation from sin and judgment and our emptiness and all that ails us. And to better grasp the life-changing truths which God is seeking to communicate to us through this imagery of a shepherd and sheep, let's first consider what sheep are like and why sheep need a shepherd. Now, there's a very, very famous book on Psalm 23. Its title is A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Maybe some of you own that book. It's not very large. It's a book on Psalm 23. And Philip Keller was a shepherd. And he writes this. Sheep do not just take care of themselves as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock endless attention and meticulous care. Isn't that interesting that that imagery is about us in Psalm 23? They require meticulous care, endless attention. He goes on, the behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance. The bottom line is that sheep can neither thrive nor survive in any state of well-being on their own for very long. In fact, apart from the guidance, from the provision, the protection of a loving shepherd, sheep really are unable to survive. In other words, sheep like us are dependent. They're needy creatures who all too often believe that something is good for them when it really isn't. And again, that's us. Keller tells of the time when he watched a flock being led by the shepherd down to a pure, clean mountain stream. But even while those sheep were being led, some of the sheep refused to go any further. And they stopped instead to quench their thirst in some muddy pools alongside the trail. But it was more than mud in those pools of water alongside the path to the clean, pure mountain water. You see, other flocks of sheep had traveled that path previously, and so those muddy pools of water were also full of urine and feces from the sheep that had gone by previously. Keller writes, still, those stubborn sheep were quite sure that it was the best drink obtainable. Wow. Don't we see ourselves a little bit? Maybe a lot of it in that? And then Keller also mentions that left to themselves, sheep, even when you place them in a lush, well-watered pasture, guess what they do? They tend to wander away. They tend to leave the green, lush pasture, and they inevitably end up in dry, barren lands. Again, what a mirror of ourselves and our tendency. It describes our own experience. That's why we need a shepherd. We need Christ. And that's why when I hear so much, even on the part of Christians talking about being independent, I'm like, no, not biblical. We need a shepherd. We need the community of the church. We need elders, and we're needy because we're going to wander off on our own. Which then, of course, brings up Christ as our shepherd. A shepherd then cares for his sheep. He loves his sheep. A shepherd provides for his sheep. A shepherd even gives his life for the sheep. So verses 1 to 3, think about verses 1 to 3 here in Psalm 23 as a description of what Christ does for you. I shall not want, verse 1. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, verse 3. So that first ministry of Christ the Shepherd, I shall not want. As I was contemplating, I shall not want. And you know, want is about desire and feeling like I have some sort of need that needs to be filled. I was thinking it would be really interesting to study how different people in different cultures, different societies, seek to fill their wants apart from God. Shopping malls is one of our consumption. Materialism is one of our approaches. Some others are, of course, pornography, drugs. Some people even think of John and the woman at the well. She was seeking to fill her wants, her perceived lacks, through multiple relationships with men. First one man, then another, then another, then another. We do similar things in our own culture. I wonder how, in different times, different cultures, different societies, the people went about seeking to fill their wants. So, regarding ourselves, each one of us, how can we determine, or maybe what helps us, what can help us a little bit determine, where is it that I tend to stray off, seeking to fill my wants? Well, here's something you could do. Ask yourself, what do I spend most of my time thinking about in a wishful state? You see what I'm saying? Where does my mind go that I wish I could have? I wish I could be somewhere or be something. Where does your mind go? That might very well indicate where it is that you tend to drift off, because we are a needy people. Consider this for a moment then. I wonder how much more we might discover a greater deal of contentment if we were only to devote half of the time that we devote to that wishful, longing thinking to Christ and His Word, and contemplating Christ, and reading solid, rich Christian materials. I wonder how much that alone would begin to fill our empty souls, devoting our attention to such materials. Only then do I suspect that we would truly be able to say, along with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be both full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Wouldn't it really be awesome, wonderful to be able to transcend our insatiable appetites? What peace of heart and contentment we would know. And in Christ and in His gracious provision, you can begin to know contentment. Yes, heaven, we truly are filled. In heaven, truly, we will not want, have any lacks whatsoever. But even now in Christ, we can begin to gain that foretaste of what heaven really will be. Christ truly is sufficient. And then moving on to verses 2 to 3, we see David tells us that Christ makes us lie down in green pastures. Another time I'd like to expand on this more. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. Think about this for a moment. Why should we desire green pastures? Again, Philip Keller writes, "And a hungry, ill-fed sheep is always on its feet, always on the move, searching for another scanty mouthful of forage to try and satisfy its gnawing hunger. Such sheep are not contented. They do not thrive. They languish and lack vigor and vitality. You can picture that sheep going here, nothing satisfies, going there, always, always in motion, trying to fill their mouth with something, some sort of nourishment. And it's almost scary how this kind of biblical metaphor of sheep exposes our own restless lives, ever on our feet, ever on the move, searching for yet another scanty mouthful to try and satisfy our gnawing hunger. There's always something new out there offering us some deliverance from some perceived woe. Always some book, some program, some teacher on television, some medical doctor, psychiatrist, a financial expert. We could just keep going on down to always somebody's offering, and we're always following on the next fad. And even in the church, as I've said so many times, even in the church, church mailing lists, you regularly at churches receive the latest promotion for the latest program for the church, which is going to make all the people in the church so happy and so filled with joy, and more are going to flock to your church. But what's interesting, as I've observed through a number of years now, always that program, if the church goes for it, it's going to last for a certain number of months, and then it's just going to kind of fade. And then the church, a year, 2 years later, is going to go for the next exciting program, and everybody's excited, everybody's full of energy and vigor. This is the greatest thing ever to come along for the church, and then it doesn't fill, it doesn't satisfy. And it's really sad. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's Christ who does this. He leads me beside still waters. He restores our souls. Now, you might be wondering, how does Christ our Shepherd accomplish this? To answer this question, I'm going to relate to you a list of Christ's provision, which I found in J.R. Beeke's book on Psalm 23. He's a Dutch Reformed pastor, theologian in Grand Rapids. Joel Beeke's book on Psalm 23. He asks, are you burdened by your sin? Our sins weigh us down far more than we realize. The good news of the gospel is that Christ took all our sins upon himself on the cross, truly redeeming us from the curse and the very real guilt of our sin. That's one of the ways that God makes us lie down in green pastures and restores our soul. He goes on, do you feel separated from God because of his anger at your sin? Christ is the peacemaker, having reconciled every single one of his sheep to the Father. That includes you if you believe upon the cross of Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, peace with God. He restores our soul. Are you filthy and dirty? A lot of people feel that way. Christ washes you with his own blood such that you are whiter than snow. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you feel distant from God? When Christ hung on the cross, he was forsaken by the Father, so that you would never have to be separated from God ever again. My God, Jesus cried out, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken, so we would never have to be forsaken. Do you wish you could redo some part of your life because of your sin and your foolishness? Understand, Christ lived the perfect life that we are unable to live. If you are in Christ, his perfect, flawless, God-pleasing life is now credited to you. no more looking back wishing you could redo something. Rather, we can say along with the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you spiritually poor? Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Does sin have you in its hideous grip? In Christ there is release, for if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Are you weak? Christ is your strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do you struggle with prayer? Jesus Christ is the great high priest who even now is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. Romans 8. Are you worn out from striving to please God and fill your emptiness by means of your own efforts? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are just some of the ways that Christ our shepherd begins to fulfill Psalm 23, verse 1, 2, and 3. When the going gets tough, where do you go? Where do you go to find ample provision and rest for your soul? Have you considered going to Christ? Here's what Jesus said in John 10, verses 7 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Let's pray.